Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to be bringing Mark Gankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South and in the days ahead. We're joined today in the last hour of the show by Father Christopher Hunter. Father Hunter was recommended to me by Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. And he is, Father Hunter is, a historian, specifically in the area of American history. He also has a lot to say to us about the political realm and the theological realm, and has a DVD that he has come out with in conjunction with Michael Hoffman. I want to talk to Father Hunter a little bit about that DVD to get at the bottom of what is on that production and how some of the listeners might obtain it, including me. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. And how are you doing this morning?
Very good. Hey, listen, in regard to this production that you've had going with Michael Hoffman, Father, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, last month I had gone back to Idaho to visit some friends, and also I wanted to see my doctor. And while I was there, I got together with him, and he suggested at that time that we get together and do this DVD on this topic of the Founding Fathers, because unfortunately, and I hate to say it, but even among Catholics, is a movement which is rather anti-American, and Michael's disturbed about it as well as I am. And so he said, "Well, look, let's get together and do a DVD, and we'll invite some friends over, and they can ask questions or you know whatever they wish to make comments on." And so we did. We got together, and it ran for 73 minutes. And Michael brought up a few points, and I brought up a few things, and we tried to make an attempt to counter some of this anti-Americanism. But as I told him after the DVD was over, I said, you know, we really didn't even scratch the surface because there's so much to cover. So
what specific things were you and Michael concerned about in regard to an un-American spin on these matters?
Well, largely what you're hearing from some of these quarters is that the American Founding Fathers were Freemasonic, and they gave us a republic based on Freemasonic principles. And you see this even in otherwise scholarly and historical revisionist journals, which is unfortunate because, in fact, it's not true. Not to say that there weren't any Masons in colonial America. There were, but they're making too much out of it, and so this is being used against us, and they're overlooking the fact that the principles upon which our government were based were very sound and valid and have a long historical tradition. So this is what we were essentially trying to get at. And the other thing is, too, a number of people, again, especially you do find this among Catholics, is that they favor a monarchical form of government. And while it certainly is a legitimate form of government as such, you know, no one can object to it, I think that their attitude towards a monarchy is based on some misconceptions, and this is one of the things I try to point out in the DVD. So I think basically those are the two areas that we were trying to get at.
Yes, and as we look at this whole situation, Father, as it pertains to a whole series of things that have come together in American history and American culture in recent decades, what do you see as maybe the one or two or three things that are the most threatening to our culture today as you see it?
Well, excuse me, I certainly think that there's, on the part of the people themselves, I think there's a great deal of apathy and ignorance. And I don't see that the people are really motivated to take an interest in important matters. And it's interesting for me to note that over the past, oh, let's say roughly 10 years, I know...
Father, hold your thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
And we'll examine that point when we return. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with our special guest today, Father Christopher Hunter. Stay tuned.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesandMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
This is Mark Danfoss America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Christopher Hunter is our guest today, and we've been talking about all kinds of things. Father Hunter, before we get into the point that you were making about some of the things that you think are most wrong with our present-day cultural situation, I wanted to ask you, what is the title of the DVD that you and Michael Hoffman have produced?
I don't know that he really gave it a title or not. Let me think. Catholicism and the American Founding Fathers. Now,
okay.
The Catholicism doesn't refer to their religious beliefs because we know that most of them were not, but it refers to the fact that the political principles and theory upon which they ultimately drew actually have been developed by the Catholic Church for about 1,500 years. So it's Catholicism and the Founding Fathers.
Catholicism and the Founding Fathers. Very good, sir. Back then to what we were talking about just before the break, what do you see as the one or two or three things that are basically maybe the most threatening aspects of what's happening in our culture?
Right, yeah. As I was starting to say there, I've noticed with interest over the past, say, roughly 10 years, a number of writers, either articles and books, on these problems that we face today in the world, are increasingly blaming these problems on the fact that the American people are so ignorant and different. And I certainly think that's a problem because unless you know, I mean, all citizens of a country have a responsibility to the country in which they are a citizen. And a nation cannot maintain itself if people take no interest in their country and the political order and the social order in which they live. And we find increasingly today people are just not assuming that responsibility. In fact, they're repudiating it. So I think that's the main problem. Beyond that, of course, you see the West seems to be abandoning its own principles. I've often commented to myself how even the United States seems to be reverting to barbarism. I mean, if you look at the way the people live and act, and the way they dress, the acts of violence and so forth we see in the country, we seem to be going back to barbarism and not, you know, advancing as a civilization. I mean, you know, we associate with the Old West, for example, shootouts and, you know, the OK Corral, but we're seeing an increasing amount of that kind of thing in our country today. You know, with the recent shootings in Virginia and so forth, and before that, a week before that, there was some shootings in Michigan. So we're just repudiating our own principles, and we're going backwards, and we're not maintaining. And, you know, James Madison said, as far as the United States goes, if the people don't live by the Ten Commandments, the government's doomed. So,
well, do you think that some of these types of things that we're saying, including these recent shootings at Virginia Tech, are simply an indication of a republic, of an empire that's in eclipse, or do you think that this is something that's potentially reversible?
I definitely think we are an empire, or have become an empire. Yes, I think that's very true. And somebody who commented on that was a man, some of your audience may be aware of. His name was Garrett. Garrett, his first name and his last were the same. He wrote three small books, and ultimately which were published into one book, one volume called The Burden of Empire. But he argues in there that the United States has become an empire, and that was, he was arguing that back in the 40s. So I think, yes, that's true. Is it reversible? Well, that's a good question. It's always dependent, you know. Will the people suddenly, for some reason, assume their responsibilities and the reign in government, which is getting out of control? I mean, that's just speculation. I don't know. I know myself. I teeter between defeatism and hope that maybe, you know, we can wake up enough people. Because, you know, the American Revolution was based on only a very few percent who took part in it. And so I don't know. It's possible, I suppose, but it looked kind of discouraging at the moment.
Well, you know, as one, speaking of myself here, I come out of a Lutheran background, so my own tradition is not within Roman Catholicism historically. But as I read more and more about what happened at Vatican II, Michael Collins Piper started me on this road when I was reading his chapter in the Judas Goats about Malachi Martin and the role that Malachi Martin played, according to Michael Collins Piper, in bringing the agenda of the Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish lobby into play in the Vatican II deliberations. And since that time, I've had several conversations with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars and several other people in the traditional Roman Catholic faith who have put me on to some additional materials that I'm trying to read and research and study over time. What do you think happened with Vatican II, and should we see Vatican II as something that has had cultural reverberations throughout American society, not simply among Roman Catholics, but that the Vatican II situation has basically been an apocalyptic event for the country as a whole?
Yes. I have commented over the years on the social effects. It's interesting, just to look at it objectively, no sooner did the council take place than in that same decade, the 60s, the country seemed to go haywire because we had the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations, we had the civil rights demonstrations, the country was racked with rioting, and we seemed to notice from that point on the decline of the country, an increasing amount of disorder. So, I mean, again, that's just, I think, an objective analysis of the situation, you know, no matter what your perspective you're coming from. So, yes, I think it did have that. The council, as we see it, was a revolution in the church. In fact, one high-ranking churchman. I forget if he was a cardinal now or not. I'd have to look it up. But anyway, I remember he was saying there was a French Revolution in the Catholic Church. Well, of course, we know in France the French Revolution was a disaster, and certainly the Council has been in the Church. And it was, I know, because the Archbishop Lefebvre had stated that during the first week of the Council, all the schemas, you know, and documents that were being submitted were perfectly orthodox. But he said, starting with the second week of the Council, they all reversed and changed. And he said, that's when you began to see this whole new revolutionary mentality. So it was a radical change and an attack on Catholic teaching. And in fact, it was Michael Hoffman who used a phrase that we now have an occupational government in Rome, which I have to agree with. So I don't know if that addresses your question, but...
To what extent, Father, and I know that this is a sensitive question, it's difficult to ask it over the air without some degree of fear and trepidation, but to what extent are we to see in the Vatican II situation the hands of the Jewish lobby internationally lurking in terms of what did transpire?
Well, yeah, that influence is certainly there. I think you touched on it a minute ago about there was some meetings between church officials and the ADL in New York, I think. So that was true. I know I can give you one example. It doesn't necessarily relate to the Council, but I know when the church wanted to canonize the Queen Isabella of Spain, and declare her a saint, there was some Jewish influence there that stepped into the Vatican and frustrated that movement. So yes, it's there, and it has been for some time. And part of the problem is not so much, you know, even the Jews themselves, as much as it is that the churchmen in Rome, the high authorities in Rome, are willing to compromise and to sell out, really, to use that word, that phrase. And so, you know, if they weren't so willing to compromise the church itself, well, you know, we wouldn't have this problem. So it's not a one-way street. It's, I was just reading recently, the present Pope Benedict granted knighthood to a rabbi from the ADL, Klinicki, I think was his name. So, I mean, that's, you know, you can't blame the Jews for that. The Pope was willing to do that. So, I mean, it's a two-way street what's going on here. But, yes, you're right, that influence is there, though.
Do in your conversations with traditionalists in the Roman Catholic Church, do they feel that they are basically totally on the periphery of that institution now, or is there some sense among many traditional Catholics that there's still an opportunity for them to have their day in the sun in terms of recovering the institution? What do you think?
Well, you know what's happening, really? It's a hard thing to call. Because, well, for example, maybe this will help illustrate your question. For about 3 or 4 months now, there's been some talk in Rome that the Holy Father is going to free up the Latin Mass, traditional Latin Mass, which is, you know, the crux of a lot of these problems today. And, you know, as time went by, we didn't see anything that was issued formally, nothing, no documents were signed. Then we were told, well, Easter is going to come about. Well, Easter came and went, nothing happened. But then we heard... on May 5th, what happened? Well, as far as I know, nothing happened on May 5th. So we're often given hopes that this impasse may break, but in fact, as time goes by, we're noticing that it's not. You know, the same status quo is being maintained. So it's discouraging, and it does kind of diminish any hope that the Catholics may have. But I think a lot of them do hope that it will happen, and they are, some of them certainly are looking forward to a break in the impasse, and this will happen. But also at the same time, you know, enough of them are realistic to realize that there's a lot of pressure from many of the bishops not to change the status quo because they like it the way it is. So again, it's hard to say. You know, you're teetering between defeatism and hope. So it's between a rock and a hard place, so it's really hard to speculate on that.
Yes. I've had Father John Martinez on this show, and I know that he has a DVD out on the Iraq War, which the Republic Broadcasting Network advertises very, very frequently. What's your take on this war, Father? When we come back, I wanted to get your own moral and political and historical take on this thing, both for Catholic and non-Catholic alike.
Sure.
This is
Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Father Christopher Hutter. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Father Christopher Hutter, who in conjunction with Michael Hoffman has produced a new DVD entitled Catholicism and the Founding Fathers. Michael Hoffman, by the way, just sent me something, along with everybody else on his mailing list, that is entitled Sarkozy's Jewish Roots. France's new president, Nicolas Sarkozy, lost 57 members of his family to the Nazis, and comes from a long line of Jewish and Zionist leaders and heroes, writes Ra'anan Eliyaz in the Australian Jewish News of May 8th. Eliyaz, I think, as I read that again. Let's try that one. Ra'anan Eliyaz of the Australian Jewish News of May 8th. Mike Hoffman sends that along to me as potentially the larger context in which we need to understand the election of Nicolas Sarkozy. I was reading Kurt Nimmo's piece today, of course, on the Sarkozy election, where obviously Mr. Sarkozy is very much interested in getting France back on track in terms of complete membership in the European Union and the much larger globalist agenda that clearly is connected to the central bankers
And, of course, Mike Hoffman provides some additional links to this today in this piece that comes to us from the Australian Jewish News. Father Hunter, we were talking about the Iraq War, just starting to get into this before the break. Father Martinez, of course, has this DVD on the Iraq War that is advertised by the Republic Broadcasting Network. What's your own feeling about this war, politically as well as morally? And is this, if you were in a situation of counseling young Catholic men and women coming to you for advice on this, what would you say to them?
Well, of course, it's a big subject. There's a lot of things that one can say. Morally, the war is completely unjustifiable. I mean, you know, I sometimes like to ask people, well, did you feel personally threatened by Saddam Hussein? You know, usually you go to war when you're attacked. And or maybe, you know, some interests you have, some territorial interests you have that belong to you are being threatened. But, you know, Iraq was a third world country, and it was no threat to us. And I think we could generally deal with and get along with Saddam Hussein, at least on the political realm. So morally, the war was unjustifiable as far as I'm concerned. Secondly, my take would be, you know, when a president has to lie to you three or four times to get you to support his policies, you've got a real problem here. First of all, if you're going to repeatedly lie to the people you're ruling over, then you must have contempt for them. So what is this saying about the president, you know? But and how strong was his cause that he had to lie to us that, you know, I mean, like to tell us that there was connections between Osama bin Laden and Hussein, which was wrong because Osama was a fundamentalist Muslim, and Saddam was a secularist, and they had no common interests. And in fact,
they were enemies.
Excuse me?
They were enemies.
They were enemies, absolutely.
Yes.
And so, you know, for the United States to go in there and overthrow Saddam Hussein was to do exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted us to do. So, Osama didn't like Saddam because he wasn't a fundamentalist and he didn't take his faith all that seriously. So, you know, that was a big lie. And the thing is, you know, the American people didn't pay attention to the people who were trying to warn them. I mean, we had Scott Ritter going around the country speaking to any group who would have him. He wrote at least one book about this situation based on his on-site experience as a UN inspector. And I read the book, and it was very good. So these things were being ignored. It was proven that the uranium deal from Africa was a fraud. It was based on forged documents. So the whole thing was just a sham from beginning to end. And the thing was, it should have been obvious even to the American people from just listening to the news, which at that time I was following. I can't always follow it on a daily basis because of my own schedule, but at that time I was following as well as I could. And it was obvious to me that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So, you know, I could see right away that this whole thing was a sham. But apparently, they say, I was just reading the other day, they even about, 50% of American people still believe that there were WMDs in Iraq, even at this late date. So, but, you know, there's an example of how you can bamboozle the people. You know, they don't follow events, and they're not well-informed, and so they believe these fairy tales that the government spins for us. So I think the war is absolutely unjustifiable and immoral, so I was completely opposed to it.
Yes, and I can see where this would put Roman Catholic young people in a very, very precarious position, along, of course, with evangelical Protestants and confessional Lutherans and so forth that would take the position on the war that you or I would here, Father. I mean, this has got to be a real stickler, I would imagine, for Roman Catholic chaplains, for example, in the armed forces, if they harbor any ideas in their own mind that your spin on this war is the correct one, which I happen to believe that it is. They, of course, find that difficult, if not impossible, to express in the context of, say, a military chaplaincy program, and then I would imagine it would become even more precarious if they had a young man or woman of the Catholic faith who came to them, person of in the uniform of Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine Corps, who said, you know, Father, I've thought this thing through. And from my vantage point as an evangelical Roman Catholic, I think this whole thing is wrong. We'll be back
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined by Father Christopher Hunter when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Father Christopher Hunter, who, among many other things, has produced, in conjunction with Michael A. Hoffman of revisionisthistory.org, a DVD entitled Catholicism and the Founding Fathers. And I was going to say to Father Hunter that sometime I'd like to get Michael Hoffman on this show, too, to discuss this DVD. It sounds like a real dynamite production.
I mean, it's kind of like a conference call?
Hey, yeah, we could do that as a conference call sometime. That would be great. Well, anything that helps the cause, and, of course, Michael Hoffman is somebody that I have become acquainted with just online,
And he has a very, very fine, interesting website. And I really enjoyed the news serves that he sends me on an ongoing basis. It's a very, very worthwhile thing.
Right. Say, so, I wonder if you had made a comment. I wonder if I could just add one more thing to the question you
sure.
asked me. Before the break there, you were saying this must cause a real dilemma for Catholics who are trying to deal with the, you know, whether or not this is a just and moral war. One thing a Catholic must do, and again, because of the apathy in this country, even among Catholics, it's unfortunate they don't do it, but they must determine for themselves as much as is possible within their capacity if a war is just or not. And so they do have some obligation to look into this. And if they come to the conclusion the war is not just, then they cannot fight in the war. At least they cannot take an active part in combat. They could take another, like the ambulance driver, work in a signal corps or something. But they must determine that. Now, if they can't determine it because it's just too complicated for them, or maybe the information is available, I don't know, they could resolve the doubt in favor of the government. But if they know and if they figure that it's an unjust war, then no, they can't take an active part in combat. So I just thought I wanted to add that to your question because you would raise that comment.
Yeah, and I think that this is something that comes up in regard to a situation that has arisen recently with Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, who was the public relations officer, as I recall this, of the USS Carl Vinson. And Commander Sharp is a devout Roman Catholic, and as I understand it, is the editor-in-chief of a couple of books that deal with neoconservative foreign policy. And Pat Buchanan is among those that I recall have contributed to this. Pat Buchanan, and I think his name will occur to me here in a second, a very well-known commentator from MIT who has also taken an anti-war position. But at any rate, Commander Sharp had put these books together completely apart from his duties as a naval officer, and ended up being put on administrative leave from his job, and he's in the process, as I understand it, of maybe being kind of rifted out of the Navy. And lo and behold, it turns out that the Southern Poverty Law Center and quite probably the Anti-Defamation League of Mene Brith were raising questions about the role of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp in being the editor of these publications, which, as near as I can tell, based upon the people who were in them, Pat Buchanan, Noam Chomsky, and others, is entirely from left to right, very responsible academic writing that opposes the Iraq War from, I think, a very, very legitimate basis and perspective. And now Commander Sharp finds himself on the wrong end of a politically correct persecution, it would seem. I would guess that he is one of the people within the Roman Catholic tradition who, in undertaking what I imagine would be the very internal process that you indicate, Father, that Roman Catholics are required to go through when it comes to a situation like this, he's going through it and apparently is paying a big price for it. Maybe that's a suggestion that some of the rest of us may at some point be required by the Lord to do the same thing.
Right, right, yeah. I'm not that familiar with John Sharp. I certainly have heard of him, and I'm aware of the books you're talking about. It's certainly not surprising that somebody who would take his position and would come out publicly and, you know, compile books like this would get himself in trouble, especially if he had any kind of high visibility or if he was a high-profile personality. So, I'm not surprised at that. And, you're going to pay a price for speaking out. I mean, that's as governments become more and more centralized and dictatorial, you pay a price for speaking out against their policies. So.
Well, is this, do you think, as one who is a historian and a theologian, that as you glance at what's happened here, that we truly are dealing with a situation where American society has fundamentally changed? I mean, it seems to me that the family and the church have ceased to be the primary agents of socialization in our culture, that more and more one could make the case for the fact that it is government that is the primary agent of socialization, and that when we speak about serving our masters, that serving the federal government and the larger globalist agenda would seem to have supplanted these earlier philosophical foundations.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think you hit one of the problems right on the head there. As you know, not too many years ago in this country, let's say around the turn of the century, society was supportive of the family unit. So in other words, whatever moral values you as a parent inculcated into your children, you could expect, and in fact you found, that society would back you up. What we see today, however, is that there is an opposition, a hostility between the family, which where the parents are still trying to teach traditional moral values, and society, which is trying to break them down. So this situation is very true, yes, and that certainly is a major change in society. And yes, as you also say, we see the government now as the change agent. And it is dictating to society and intending to change the people's thinking on all of these things, all the various causes it supports, which are in opposition to traditionally held values by Americans. So, the government is having a greater influence, and also we see these civil liberties groups trying to break down, again, what was considered normal and acceptable for many years. You know, they talk about protecting freedoms, but they're out to destroy, the ability of people to be Christians and to profess their Christianity publicly, like taking off the crucifixes and the Ten Commandments off the public grounds and the nativity scene, so things like that. So, yes, we see this major shift. And one other thing, too, I might point out in this regard, and this would be more of a political nature than of a social nature, but Aristotle in his Politics points out, he refers to something called a revolution from within. And what Aristotle realized, even as early as he lived, was that you can get a situation where all the outer trappings of government remain the same, that the appearance is there, but within the government itself has been an internal revolution, and there's been a major change inside of it. So we have that today. So, for example, we still have like a three-branch system of government, the executive, legislative, and judicial. We still have a Congress that goes through the motions of making laws and so forth. But the thing is, there's been an internal change in the government. So, in fact, the laws and the Constitution are ignored and repudiated, but at the same time, the appearance is given that our government really hasn't changed any. So I think that's another point to keep in mind. This is a very valuable insight, I think, that Aristotle had. So.
Yes. And to me, as I think about Aristotle and Aquinas and others who have bequeathed a great deal to us philosophically and theologically, we get back to this central core issue once more of human life, Father. Clearly, this 1973 Roe versus Wade decision continues to haunt us. One of the more recent editions of the American Free Press was pointing out that Planned Parenthood is receiving something in the neighborhood of $265 million a year from the federal government of the United States. Now, in keeping with this, of course, I'm sure that you and I are on the same page on this life issue and all of the implications of it for our society in regard to a society that fails to protect life,
right,
either at its youngest stage or at its oldest. But as we look at the incredible horror of this abortion tragedy, and the violence that has been visited upon the most innocent and the most vulnerable within our society, is there a connection that we should see between a society that has gone in this direction and one that has become increasingly militaristic in its foreign policy? Is that a legitimate connection to make?
It's interesting. I myself had not thought of that, but now that you raise it, yes, I would say it is a legitimate connection, because our military ventures are not based, as we said earlier, not based on any moral considerations, and they're just based on violence and brutality. In fact, I think what we're practicing now is something called total war, where you don't make an effort to target the actual military target itself or the people that are directly your enemies, but there's all these what they call collateral damage. Well, look how many hundreds of thousands of civilians in Iraq have been killed by so-called collateral damage. I mean, it's really reduced to itself, I think, the total war. And yes, I would see this connection because there's a callous attitude towards death. Whether it's the, the thing is, if you're willing to kill unborn children in the womb, well, then it's not going to be any problem for you to kill full-grown adults. So, yes, I think there is a connection there. And we've been called the culture of death. And I think it's a very valid label and a valid description of what we've become as a culture. So, yes, I think there's a connection there.
Yeah, I know. Yesterday, Franklin Sanders was on this show, the so-called money changer. I knew him in the Constitution Party some years ago, and Franklin is now a Reformed Episcopal pastor. And he was speaking yesterday about a genocide that is being visited upon the American people. And he was speaking not simply about the abortion controversy, although he included that. He was speaking about the wholesale assault, of course, on our political and constitutional freedoms. He was talking about a multinational corporate culture that is willing to put all of us on antidepressants and to sell us genetically modified food and a series of other things. And I think based upon what I know Franklin believes, although I don't think we talked about it too much in the air yesterday, he would share your view and mine basically of what is going on with the Iraq war. And I would suspect that he would draw the connections between these policies, that the kind of unprovoked external militarism that has come to characterize so much of our foreign policy under these so-called neoconservatives is part and parcel of a larger corporatist culture that's involved with genetically modified foods, that's involved with promoting antidepressants, that's involved in trying to regulate every area of our medical and economic life, at the same time, of course, that it's promoting chemical warfare against the unborn. This, to me, taken in tandem, would seem to suggest that in contrast to the rather naive love of government and the equation of love of government with love of country that we've seen in recent years among many people on the religious right might suggest that, in fact, there's a strong antichrist component to all of this.
Yes, certainly, because, first of all, you know, in order for both the government and these corporations to do what they're doing, they would have to fly in the face of the moral law. I mean, and not only that, but one of the things that always struck me, and you mentioned corporate America, and that's kind of a sore point with me, too. These corporations are obviously being run by people who have no sense of prudence. And, you know, everything for them is the dollar. But you can't just proceed on the basis of what makes profit. You have to apply intelligence and common sense and prudence as to whether what you're doing is good or bad, or what are the ramifications of what I'm doing. You know, what's going to happen down the line if we genetically modify food? You know, they may look at it from the perspective of this moment, but what about, you know, 10, 15 years, what's this going to do? For example, somebody was just telling me that a private farmer, had his field next to one of Monsanto's fields that had genetically modified plants in it, and the pollen from their plants came over into the private farmer's field and was affecting his crops, which he didn't want to have that genetic modification. So there's an implication right there. And a friend was suggesting to me just the other day, I don't know whether you've seen this thing in the news about the bees, these hives of bees, they fly away and they die, and it's becoming a problem both the United States and Europe. It hasn't been proven, certainly, but somebody suggested that it might be because of genetic modification. Maybe it's affecting the bees. So these are the things I'm talking about. So, yeah, there is an antichrist mentality. These people do not regulate their business according to Christian ethics, the Ten Commandments, or anything. So, and this corporate socialism is really a serious problem today. So,
what do you make of this whole situation with Zionism? What's your take on that from a Christian perspective?
Well, it's a problem. It's been a problem for a number of years. The Catholic mentality on that has been, as far as you know, like the homeland in Israel has been, you know, you just can't move in there and take over the way they did. You know, I mean, there was certainly a lot of serious questions, you know, about the Balfour Declaration and how the Arabs being moved out of their homeland and these being displaced into resettlement camps and so forth. I know Pius X was against what they were trying to do over there. There's a statement by him on that. So yeah, that's a consideration. Again, Christians must know about this and be aware of it and realize it is a problem, and it does have a lot of influence, yes.
Yeah, and I think clearly in this present context, where it would seem that they have played a very strong component, some people would say the strongest component in what really lay behind Mr. Bush's decision to go to war in Iraq. And of course, now with all this talk of expansion of this war into Iran, I would guess that this whole conflict and this whole quandary over the situation is going to continue to be pervasive, not simply for American society generally, but of course for those confessions of faith, including traditional Lutheranism and traditional Catholicism, that have not espoused the so-called Christian Zionist line. And in keeping with eschatology, Father, Jesus, of course, makes a very interesting statement in the Olivet Discourse, thinking of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, where at least in several of those pericopes, he references the fact that at the end of time, the love of many would wax cold. Do you think that that's do you think that that's what's in effect happening to us right now?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, you can see this callousness in society of people towards one another, just this cold indifference and selfishness. It was interesting, about 6 months ago, I was taking a flight to the Midwest, and there was a woman sitting next to me in the seat on the plane, and we struck up a conversation, and she happened to say to me, she says, you know, I regret this passing of the age of civility. And I know what the word civil means, but I didn't exactly know how she meant in the context she was using. And I asked her to tell me, and she says, well, you know, you made allowances for people's mistakes. You know, there was the charitableness towards people. And she says, we don't have that anymore. You know, we condemn everybody else. You know, he makes a mistake. Well, he's a jerk or an idiot, something. And then I knew what she meant, and I had to agree with her. Yes, she was right about that, and I have to echo that sentiment.
We'll be back.
Okay.
World War III, rising fuel prices, financial collapse, trucker strike, North American Union. Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law. ¶¶
We're back. This is Mark Danpels, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Father Christopher Hunter, who, in conjunction with Michael A. Hoffman of revisionisthistory.org, has produced a DVD entitled Catholicism and the Founding Fathers. Tomorrow, Thursday, Eileen Fleming will be with me from 8 to 10 o'clock in the morning. And then Friday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., Daniel New will be with me to give us an update on the Michael New case and the Supreme Court's rationale, or lack of a rationale, for denying his son's legal appeal in regard to this case involving the UN insignia controversy when Michael was ordered to don the insignia of the United Nations on his military uniform in Macedonia in 1995, and why he refused to do that, and what the implications are for the Supreme Court's failure to hear his appeal. That'll be Dan New Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. And then Mark Glenn of both Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press will join me from 9 to 10 a.m. as usual to cover all the basic stories of this past week. Father Hunter, we just have a minute or two left. In regard to your own situation, what are your goals here in the next couple of years in regard to what you hope to accomplish if the Lord gives us that much time?
Well, I'd like to continue pursuing my interests here and expand on them. I did write a little book concerning the establishment of our country and the Founding Fathers. I'd like to elaborate on it because I left much information out of it, and it could be expanded. I could probably double the size of the book. So that's one thing in the back of my mind. I don't know whether time and my schedule will allow it. That really, I guess, is my area of specialty, so I'll probably just concentrate on that. Otherwise, I have a number of duties as a priest. I have to do missions. I go around the country doing a couple of different missions. So that'll keep me busy, and I teach. So I think for the most part, I just have to kind of stay on course here and continue my, you know, just meeting my own obligations. So,
where are you teaching now, Father?
I'm in a little parish and school outside of Eugene, Oregon, and we have a school here of about altogether of about 90, 95 students, and K through 12. So I teach right now. I'm teaching elementary school, but generally I've taught high school. That's really where my experience has been. So,
do you find as the public schools continue to worsen for a lot of regrettable reasons, that more and more people, even outside of the Roman Catholic Church historically, are beginning to look into Catholic parochial school education as a big alternative?
Yes, but I have to say, based on my own observation, there hasn't been a lot of interest on the part of non-Catholics. We have had some come to us and enroll. But I think, generally speaking, yeah, there is a real revolt against public school education, and more people are seeking either homeschooling or private schooling to counter it.
Yes. And in regard to this present situation that we find ourselves in the Middle East, in terms of being a political prognosticator, do you think we will go to war with Iran, or do you think that that's something that will not happen?
Well, I think we will, but it's hard for me to believe how we could fall for this nonsense coming out of our administration for a second time in a row. But, you know, I don't know, the American people have proven themselves capable of believing just about anything, so I tend to think we will go to war, but let's say that I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too, and the American people seem to be about as gullible as the French people who just elected Mr. Sarkozy.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay.
God bless you, Father Christopher Hunter. We'll be back tomorrow with Eileen Fleming at 8 o'clock in the morning in terms of Eileen's segment on the show. This is Mark Danpels, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I will see all of you, those of you who tune in, as early as 0700. God bless you.
With recent